You may ask, is the time of death predestined? But the answer to this question is a little complicated, not a simple yes or no. It has to do with a person's karma, with their life and how they live it. When a person or an animal, even a plant, comes into physical existence, when any life comes into physical existence, an associated consciousness enters the physical body, awareness. So the sum total of all the living cells make a vehicle suitable to bring conscious, aware life into existence. That conscious, aware existence within the cells of the body, within the formation of the nervous system, is housed. The organs of expression and of reception, they become the vehicles for consciousness to embed itself and express in the world. Receiving through sight, hearing, touch, and expressing, and other organs, and expressing through speech and other organs of expression. Consciousness exists and expresses in the world. The vehicle becomes the outermost shell of the mind of a living being. A living being is composed of a basket of karma that binds awareness and consciousness into association. It drives desires that cause manifestation to arise. That manifestation is the expression through which that karma is played out and resolved. So, as consciousness, aware being, is associated with life, associated with individuality, it becomes engaged in the passions, in the desires of the mind. And that takes manifestation in a physical form suitable to express those desires. So the birth of a person is destined by their karmic patterns, by their past experiences, which have the past reactions of mind, which have accumulated to form their sense of individuality, their unique expression, their unique identity. Every living being has a unique identity that they have formed through many, many lifetimes of expression. And that unique identity allows them to be living in this world, allows them to be manifest. And it also drives their manifestation. So when certain desires remain that a person wants to be able to express, they will be drawn to a situation with the people and circumstances which best suit the capacity to express those latent desires, those sanskars. As they are drawn to that situation, they begin to embody and meld their consciousness into the human form, into the animal form that they take. And they begin to forget the past. They believe themselves to be that life form in that life. They forget their larger context of their existence. And as a young one experienced the growth of the body and the abilities to express and to receive information, and from there they develop the life that they have, but that life is not a clean slate. You take two children in the same family, they will be very different. Their lives are not a clean slate because they come into the bodies that they are in order to express the unresolved desires that remain from all of their individual experience, their sanskaras, their karma latent in potential is there, making them each unique. And so because of their karmic patterns, because of the what drives them from within their own soul, they will that finds expression in the mind and body, they will take different paths. And the two children of the same family will not follow the same path, but they will diverge into their unique expression. One may do very well in life, live a long and happy life. Another may suffer. They will have a certain common bounds, because they have chosen a particular family, a particular circumstance to be born into with certain limitations. And because of that, they will take on that those limitations. And so if you have a highly dysfunctional family where people are really suffering, or you have a situation where there's deprivation, starvation, extreme poverty, those situations that they have been born into will influence both children. But they have been born into that situation because they have had the latent uh, samskara, the latent potential that is best expressed in that particular situation. And so they go through life. In example, if you have a person who at the time of death has tremendous guilt for the suffering they have imposed on others, for the ill deeds they have done to others, they will feel, I do not deserve happiness because I have done ill deeds to others. When they take a body, that sentiment will want to be expressed, and they will be born into a situation in which they have ill health, poverty, abusive family, something that reflects the ill deeds they feel that they have done to others. And they likewise, the result of those ill deeds is balanced by the suffering in their life. And they begin to free themselves from this feeling that they deserve to suffer. Likewise, a person who has sought happiness and feels they have done good deeds in their life, and deep inside they feel they deserve happiness, may find that in the next life they are born into a situation in which they feel happy, in which they're allowed to have good things happen in their lives that bring them happiness. This life on earth in physical form, whether it be human, animal, or plant, this life on earth, even in the form of rocks, this life on earth is an opportunity to grow. It is a learning experience, a teaching, if you will. And when souls incarnate, they come with a desire to balance something, balance their samskaras, to find the teachings that will bring them closer to their own nature, to the core of their being, to the love that they are. And they will seek the teachings in the life. And the life may bring them further, depending on their choices, or closer. But the physical life is limited. When you watch a movie, your consciousness becomes engaged with the movie. And you are absorbed in the movie. In that period of time, if the movie is very absorbing for you, you may become completely merged in the movie. To you, at that moment, you are the character in the movie and you are going on. But the movie has a beginning and the movie has a prescribed end. It will not last forever. And when it ends, you wake from the movie and you are yourself in your body. The same is true of human life. Like this, your awareness becomes engaged in the physical form and the experience that you have until it ends, and then you are disengaged. These bodies do not last for eternity, fortunately. Though it may seem sad, it is fortunate, because this is not the true nature that you are. This is a form you take for a learning experience, a form you take to receive teachings, whether they're harsh or luscious and delicious, teachings that will allow you to be your deepest nature, teachings that will bring you to wisdom and love, to awareness of your interwoven connection, of your true nature in the eternal self of all beings. So the teachings go on throughout your life, and depending upon your responses, your choices, your life will take different directions. Those choices are often determined by your karma, by these sanskaras, these latent tendencies of mind. But there are times when free will is also there, when you can make free choices. And those choices determine the course of your life. The more you align with love divine, with compassion, generosity, loving kindness, the more you align with the harmony of all existence and the divine love that is there, the more your choices will begin to reflect that. And those choices will draw you in a direction towards freedom, liberation from the ignorance that binds the mind, and towards life divine. And the more your choices are determined by your past reactions of mind, these sanskaras, and by deep desires for power, for wealth, that you feel will give you the safety, the security, the protection you need, that will somehow heal you, the more you are bound by them, and they determine the direction of your life. When you have come to a point where the circumstances no longer serve to express your inner being, you begin to lose parallelism with the body. The life you have developed in the physical form is not entirely relevant to you. Then the choice happens very often to leave that form. The choice frequently is not known to the conscious mind. It happens in a deeper level of the mind. There is a lack of parallelism between the life in the outer world and the inner person and their need to grow, their need to move forward. And when that happens, illnesses, accidents, circumstances create themselves to allow the separation of the soul and the being from the physical form, so that you may move on in life to your nature and take forms which better reflect your inner being and the path and journey that you are on. The accidents that kill people are not accidental. There is some aspect of the person that is ready to move on. And when that time comes, frequently the circumstances will present themselves in one way or another. Now, there are those who are in the midst of a passionate life. They have family, young children, they have work in the world which they're in the middle of, and they're suddenly extinguished. And you go, they were not ready to leave. They were enjoying, they were passionately involved. Why did this happen? And this is a very good question. Why, for one who is in the throes of life, and is passionate to maintain their life. Naturally, everyone wants to live because it is the nature of the physical body to want to live. It will keep on as long as it can. But the nature of the soul is not so attached to the physical form and will choose to go. But often not consciously known, because the choice is too frightening. And to the conscious, which is identified with the body. But there are those who appear not to choose, that they are suddenly cut off in their prime when they are passionately engaged in life. What happens? This is due to karma. This is due to karmic forces beyond the control of the person, which must be played out. They can be individual, they can be collective, to a mass of people. Those events can be predicted. So you say, if there is a mass event that will kill many people, is it predestined? Because it can be predicted. And the answer is yes and no. It is predestined in the sense that it is in the cosmic mind, it is in the collective consciousness. Past, present, and future are not linear. We perceive them as linear because of the nature of the structure of the mind of a human being. But when removed from the outer layers of mind into the subtle layers of mind, past, present, and future are simultaneously. They are all now. And in that realm, in that dimension of existence where time is not linear. They exist, and the past can be known, and the future can be known. For it is not the future, it is the now. The past is not the past, it is the now. The now is all that is. The present is present in all these states, in all the dream of the great dreamer. It is always the now. Now, when you think of the future, you think of something that isn't. But the real future is now. But in this dimension, it is not so, for in this dimension, time is linear. So if knowledge of future comes, it comes from that dimension where time is not linear, and past, present, and future are melded. They are now. This explanation does not sit well with the human mind because it does not compute in a linear mind. That is why it is a yes and a no. It is predestined. It has already happened. It is not predestined. The choices you make will determine the path of your future. Those choices are at times beyond your control because of past karma. And at times, you have true free will to choose when you have dissolved the karma. You can make the choices. And those choices determine the choices that go from there. So your path winds and winds in your own unique way. Are there any questions regarding this answer?
How to look worldwide when this and in past, like Western world is more have all what people need, and in many countries like Africa and East Asia, whatever, they have more suffering on physical level. Kind of, there is almost like polarization. Is that also somehow connected with this whole picture you're talking about?
So the question is the differential between impoverished areas of the world or areas where there's war or suffering different from where the society is secure? Why is there a difference? The souls will be drawn to different circumstances depending on their karma. They will manifest in different places. And within whatever the external context, they will have their own unique path. But the external context, if there is a country that is war-torn or a place that is starving, if there is destruction of the environment and it is no longer suitable for life, there is starvation. The unique path occurs within the context of the larger path. But the collective karma will be there. Likewise, if the society has shepherded well, the collective karma of a intact society will be present, and the soul will flourish or not flourish individually within that context. That context is karmic also to the collective karma of the world. So those events, those circumstances can be seen but yet they are influenced by the decisions of the people. This time that you have in this body is a transitory time. You identify with the body just as you identify with a movie that you are watching or a book that you are reading until it comes to an end, and then it's finished. And you disidentify with it and you move on with your life. The same is true of entering a physical form. You identify with the form and that becomes your life for a period of time. These bodies have an endpoint. And when that endpoint is reached, you disidentify and you move on with your life, with your existence. For your life is not dependent on life in a physical body. It is expressed in the physical form. There are things that are difficult to understand because they do not relate to this linear approach that is natural to this stratum of existence, of time, place, and person. Let it be sufficient to say that both individual and collective circumstance are part of the cosmic evolution. And the tragedies and joys of manifestation are the dance of cosmic existence. You as an individual, embodied in form, physical or non-physical, are ultimately a part of the whole. There is, in reality, no individual. There is one cosmic existence. And the dance, the dream of creation, lies within that. When you awaken to this, then the dream ceases to bind you. You are the dreamer, and the dream occurs within you. The dream of form, the dream of subtle form, the dream of individuality, the dream of pleasure, and the dream of pain. It's all a dream. And in ignorance, you believe it's real. Just like you when you are immersed in the book and the characters, your consciousness believes it's real for that moment. It is real for you. Or in the movie, you are the character. It's real for you in that moment. You enjoy this. You enjoy experiencing different things, harsh and pleasurable. Because you know it's not you. You know you can wake from it. So it's quite an adventure. You enjoy it. The same way cosmic being enjoys creation. The adventure, the love, the discovery, the suffering, the darkness. It's the movie, it's the dream. You are the dreamer. Not you who is identified as a body, but you who is all that is. In the plants, in the animals, in the air, in the earth, in the stars in the heaven, all within the mind of the great dreamer. The whole order of creation lies in that mind. And that order has a pattern. And that pattern is the solid pattern. All right. I hope this answers your question. It is not so easy to discuss because it is not a linear answer. There is not a either or to it. All right?